I don't, man. I guarantee it'd work a lot better if you did it.
Did you want to do your own thing, or did you want to do?
I think we should do the classic intro. I don't, you know.
I have
don't
to find.
You got me turned off.
Oh, I'm sorry. How's that?
That's better. Now I'm actually on the
air. We were just talking about boxing. How excited we were to see an actual Mayweather fight tonight.
Yes, indeed.
And you're all ready?
Don't you have
we're
like
ready.
Applause?
Let's,
like,
let's go.
Good morning.
There we go.
A brighter day is here. Good morning. May we bring you cheer.
We've got time. We've got tunes. We've got time, tunes, and temperature.
Get up and go. It's today, you know, on KSCO Radio.
All right, now we're here. Officially here. I want to thank Michael Zwirling for leaving town, giving us this opportunity.
Being foolish enough to leave us in charge.
Giving us the opportunity again. Kim Allen and I are sitting here talking how excited we were to watch the fight tonight.
Yes, I'm very excited about it. I'm a big fight fan, and I have been forever. My father fought professionally and had the broken teeth and a busted nose to prove it.
I've been watching the UFC fights. And just over time losing interest and have been swayed back to boxing. I think boxing offers a nonstop action. You know, after watching and the way that the UFC's been officiating and pushing their fighters and how they, you know, it's just, they're just laying around. They're not working. They're not in there to really fight, and it's not a real gladiator sport.
Well, after Gracie kicked everybody's fanny, then they started doing stand-up boxing, fighting, and it's evolved back to boxing again.
Back to
frankly,
grappling.
That's what I
back to grappling again, you mean?
Well, no, they started. A lot of them didn't have a stand-up fighting game, remember? Now everybody's
well, I know,
got one.
You know, it's hard. Some of the top guys, like St. Pierre, and I know a lot of right. fans and stuff would argue this, but he does whatever he can to minimize any damage, minimize, obviously, but When you're the champion, you want to see a fight. You want to see him go in there. And I've heard stories from a long time ago when they were first starting where they'd literally, the management of UFC or different divisions would go in and actually tell them that they were going to give them nothing unless they knocked the person out. They wouldn't make a dime. And right before the fight. You know what I mean? To try to build it up. They wanted to put on a show. And
it's
just
a blood sport.
Yeah, it is.
It's a sweet science, but it's a blood sport. And I, quite frankly, being as benevolent and sensitive a soul that I am, and I know you know that, how I'm kind of amazed how much I love boxing. And I do. I passionately love boxing. I do.
Well, this is not what we were intended to come in and talk about.
But it's always a fight anyway.
Yeah.
Since I'm on the left.
Speaking of fights, that's one of the things I do want to bring up. I know you wanted to talk about, you had a guest, bomb expert.
Yes, Barry Wallace. And because I didn't confirm because I wasn't sure if he was going to fit in today's program with him. I can get him in here for the second half maybe. But he's 14 years bomb team specialist.
Yeah, we wanted to talk about some of that stuff.
Yeah, because there's so much misinformation about how bombs are made and what they can do, what they can't do. And realistically approaching that clinically, anyway, from Mr. Wallace's experience.
Yeah, and he's actually gone out and defused bombs or set them off.
Multiple times.
Crazy.
He was on the bomb team for 14 years, the SWAT team for 15 years. And I said, you know, I followed your lead, but when I got to the bomb team, I'm too clumsy. I'll let you do that one on your own.
Yeah, I always notice when they walk out there, those big suits on in there.
Oh, I'd block
up there and cut a blue or a red wire.
Which one? Red, blue.
I don't know. That was the only question I had for him. Was that really true? Or they have these wires and they have to cut one of them?
Occasionally,
I doubt it. That's TV stuff.
Occasionally, yeah, sure.
And I wanted to talk about, speaking of arguments, and this will help me out a little bit, but I wanted to talk a little bit about the Plan B pill and letting 15-year-old girls get it. And is this another step? And this was a huge argument for my wife and I last night for some reason. I think it's just another step for the government to step in between you and your kid. And it just drives a bigger wedge between. Personally, my personal opinion, not that I'm a Republican or Democrat, you know, you got to put that aside. And I'm a father. You're a father. Do you want the government to come in and allow your kid to buy a drug without your permission?
Well, I
15-year-old.
I think my position on abortion and right to life issues would surprise many people, but I'm definitely not real thrilled about abortion by any means.
Well, this isn't abortion. This is
it's preventing a birth or an ultimate conception of a child.
Do you feel, and this was my question, it was hard. Do you feel like it's the government's right to step in between you? Is that make a bigger wedge between, you know, my wife said, well, a lot of kids can't talk to their parents. I said, well, why aren't we dealing with that? Why aren't we dealing with those situations? Why are we glamorizing and why are we allowing kids to have sex at a younger and younger age? And instead of working on teaching them how to not do that, why are we just making it easier and easier for them to not get pregnant?
Well, there's
and what are the side effects to that?
There's just certain inevitabilities in life that are going to result. Like we talked about, you can't keep sex, you can't keep drugs, you can't keep any of the things we have in a free society out of prison. So how can we realistically approach those issues knowing that we can't keep them out of prison and we're dealing with it in society? And the same thing's true with sexual intercourse. It's going to happen. How do we manage we manage it?
Again, this goes back to, you know, and you'd be called a tyrant, but why don't they just put something in the water so people can't get pregnant? And if you want to get pregnant, you have to go take a test. Then you take something and they give you something and you can get pregnant. Or why don't they control everything then?
Thank God they've got me in this planet.
I didn't say that's what I want
God
to do.
For the liberals.
Hey, I didn't say, oh God, please.
The free thinkers.
No.
He wants to put stuff in our water. Fluoride's bad enough.
I never said that. I said, what's the difference? Why don't they just do that then? If the government's going to pick and choose. Okay, for instance, why doesn't Obama have Obamacare? Why does he have his own specialized health care? If it's such a great plan, why does every governor and every politician, why don't they have Obamacare? Why is it when I called the doctor, they said I can go in at the end of August to see a doctor? Do you think they're going to wait that long?
I call up and get an appointment the following week. I mean, I've got Blue Cross PPO.
I got
Cost
Blue Cross.
Cost me an arm and a leg, contrary to what people think about our benefits.
But I'm digress on that. But what I'm saying is, would Obama let his 15-year-old daughter go and buy Plan B?
I think he'd be extremely concerned about that possibility.
Well, he came out and said he's stoked that they're doing this.
Well, I don't think
and
he's
then
stoked.
The thing that, yeah, it says it. It's, you know, it wasn't stoked, but he's very excited about it and very happy about it. And then you look at the drug maker spent $5.7 million lobbying to get this thing through. Why? Because it's about money. Now we're kind of getting to the root of the problem.
You put your finger on it, though, Scott. It's about parenting, about being a father, about being a mother, and really being
But why
there.
Don't we have those values anymore? We don't teach those values. We don't. It's
because
the
parents
opposite.
Don't work together with their children. They don't make their children a priority, you know, and I believe that I have, and I'm so blessed that my kids are so wonderful. I really am, because believe me, if you go genetically, I'm in trouble.
We're just scratching the surface on this. Let's see what Rory has to say.
Okay.
And I know I'm gonna mess this up the first couple times. I think there's a button on here I'm supposed to push besides.
We got a trusted
Rory. Hang tight, bro.
Ricochet on the prowl in there.
I can't even get the mouse to go to the other screen.
No brains, no headaches. That's
what
they told me.
Am I using the wrong mouse? It won't go over there. I know, it won't go over there. Look at. Oh, there it is. You're right. Rory.
Good morning,
Rory.
Gentlemen. Yes, good morning, gentlemen. Thanks for taking my call.
Good morning.
Boxing fan? Yes, no?
No, I was. I used to watch the UHF Channel 52 in L.A. with the Olympic Auditorium and that guy. And
oh, wow.
I used to grit my teeth as a kid watching them. But, yeah, my grandfather actually boxed and got his boxing gloves. And I think he helped pay his way through Columbia Law School by boxing. I mean,
wow.
No, he was from Southern Cal.
That's impressive.
The boxing lawyer. But anyway.
Like Mills Lane.
My dad boxed in the Navy.
Mills Lane was a judge of Nevada.
Yeah. Well, I was around some Irish families growing up, the parish I grew up in, Southern Cal, and man, they were brawlers.
That's a rite of passage. That's just dinner.
Oh my gosh, those guys. Little guys that rip you up. But anyway, the reason I called was on this whole Plan B drug. And Scott, I'm with you, man. This is a major usurpation of parental authority. And the government has got no right. I hope to God that parents rise up.
I just feel like it's just another step. It's just another little step that to drive the government and start, they're going to start raising your kid. They're going to tell you.
It's dead wrong. I'm going to tell you this is what I tell my daughters, of which I have seven.
Wow. There's a man that's seen the inside of a bathroom in about 10 years.
But you're not ready for intercourse until you're married and you've got a man that'll put a ring on your finger and pledge his devotion to you. Then you're ready for intercourse.
Rory, you know, please, those are old school values.
You're making me feel bad.
And they stand the test of time. You tell a young girl at 15 she can start having intercourse, she's going to be destroyed.
Well, okay. not only that, is she able to make that decision with this plan B and all this? There's so much that goes along with this.
What about the side effects?
Oh, I haven't even got to the side. I have a list of side effects that are phenomenal.
Yeah, I'm not real thrilled about this.
They're pushing a pharmaceutical poison on our children, and they're giving them a green light to fall sway to their base instinct.
So you know what, I'll throw my wife under the bus. She's not listening. You know what she said was, hey, what are you talking about? This will help teen pregnancy. This will lower teen pregnancy. I'm like, you're doing it wrong. This is going to make even more teen. There's going to be side effects. There's going to be all kinds of problems along with this. But is the government going to be there when it goes south? Or are you going to have to pick up the pieces as a dad?
Right. Yes. You and I as parents are the ones that are responsible. And there's not enough money in the world to start taking care of all the unwed teenage mothers, abortions happening to children at a young age. How can they deal with the psychological and the emotional fallout of killing their firstborn? I mean, my God, what are we doing? Does anybody see this? Like I see it, it's murder. It's absolute murder. And they have to deal. I know women that had to deal with it. Maybe they stuffed it for 10, 15, 20 years. And then they realized, you know what? I killed my firstborn because I got bad advice.
See,
I wasn't given all the information.
Well, let's
my God, what are we doing?
Rory, one of the things that I said when they were starting to make contraceptives and birth control and to these young kids and they can buy it without a parental authority. One of the things I said was, why don't they, with that, have some sort of program they have to go through where it educates them on the pros and cons of all this, instead of just giving them birth control? So now these girls have birth control, and knowing the boys, and I'm not picking on the girls at all, but knowing the boys, what was the rate of venereal disease at that point? Because once they have birth control, they're using, you know, somewhat unprotected sex as far as a condom goes. They don't talk about any of that stuff, the side effects, even from that and the repercussions. We need to go back and really look at that first and say, hey, we took a wrong turn here. We need to try to come back. And this has nothing, and Kim's looking at me and he's like gritting his teeth. And Kim is just he thinks he's a full-blown liberal, but he's kind of like in between. But there is a big problem here, Kim. I'm sorry. He's a father too. He preaches these morals. There's a thing called morals. Why don't we preach morals? I remember when Dan Quayle and whoever they kind of went against the Murphy Brown show and the whole thing
Dan Quayle was a moron.
No, you know what? He was preaching morals, family values. What is wrong with preaching that? Oh, you go to preach morals and family values, and now you're just a conservative right wing. Oh, you're a dinosaur.
You're a throwback. Right?
But our problem is we're not in a situation here where we're communicating with our children. We're not allowing them to have a voice to where they feel comfortable to talk to us. And that starts early on. Discord with your children, and that's where the parents have dropped the ball, I think, by thinking that I've always talked to my children on an equal basis. I really did, and my son was my big experiment, and he's turned out he's unbelievable.
I'm sorry, I'm going to step in here and say I'm going to stand
but
up for a lot of the parents
it's
because
what happens when they're 15 and they get pregnant?
But it's
what happens when they're 15 and get pregnant because
what? But this goes back
now
to
then what they're going to have a baby
what are they watching?
At 16.
What are they watching on TV? What are the video games they're playing? What is the interaction on the internet?
Absolutely.
All these things have compounded,
and
I truly believe, Rory, our society is going south. We're in a downward spiral. What's wrong with having morals and values?
If
Nothing's wrong with that.
Right. If these issues aren't addressed and corrected, but okay, and I use that word corrected,
but it's all communication.
We will implode. There's not enough money in the world to cover up all the messes. And if my daughter was 15 and got pregnant, I would walk her through that pregnancy. The last thing I'm going to do is counsel her to kill and wipe out that child.
But back up. Even if it was a plan B, or she was afraid she got pregnant and she went to you and said, hey, I really don't want to do this, blah, blah, blah. You know, you guys sat in a room and talked about this. I'm sure you have your wife, whatever it is. If it's two women, whatever the situation is, you're going to give advice, this and that. Not that's just where she skipped out on this whole process where you have a family. Where the family goes. One of the things that I love doing is spending time in Mexico. The family values in Mexico are completely different here. They all come together anytime there's something going on. They all sit through and they work through these things. I don't see that here anymore. And this government is actually making that even harder to do. With now kids don't have to go anywhere and they can do whatever they want.
I'm against 80% of what this administration is promoting. I feel like I'm working at cross purposes to the governmental authority all around me. Not so much local, but more state and federal. And it's getting a little tiresome. And we as parents are the ones that are held responsible. We're the ones that have to pay the bills. We're the ones that are legally responsible for our minor children. Okay, you've got to get a permission slip to get a flipping aspirin in school, or anything for that matter. And yet they can go behind our backs, and that's exactly what it is. The government's promoting behind the back, lying, teaching our children how to lie to their parents and be deceitful and get this kind of a strong medication to wipe out. I think if we did a better job as parents,
communicating with our children, teaching them how to speak to us and learning how to speak to them, a lot of this can be abated before the horse is already out of the barn.
Right,
so the government wouldn't have these footholds, and these other entities on the internet wouldn't have these footholds, and things would be different. So we wouldn't be in a position where we're going to preach to them because they're not going to listen to us because we don't have an
Kim's
open
got
discord.
Kind of a different situation. I know his kids, and they kind of parent him. Who's assuming they're not going to listen?
Who's assuming they're not going to listen? I wouldn't just.
You know how many, as a cop of 32 years, how many 415 disturbances I got in the middle of with the parents and the children, the parents and the children. And how many times did I see the parents not doing their job, setting horrible examples, expecting their children to perform perfectly.
Back up on that.
We need to take responsibility for what we do and what we say and how we act.
But wait.
Jim, that's just a small percentage of all parents.
One of the things I did see as a cop and had experience out there.
Children need their parents and boys need their fathers.
I noticed that when we were getting calls, the continuous calls were, a lot of them were the same parents having us parent their kids. Whether or not they were crying out for help, they called us for help. You went out, I went out, you went out there and helped them try to figure out a way for them to get their kids, to parent their kids. That's a second. I'm sorry. That may not be right.
I went to a call where a guy called us on 415 because the teenage boy got up and changed the channel. He told him to change it back and he wouldn't do it, so they called the sheriff.
That's an extreme.
When I got there,
But it happened.
It's that bad. Oh, he just turns me off. See what he does.
Hey, I have kids. That come back now and say, thank God you got back in my car and left.
That's
an extreme. There's people that are real. There was parents out there that really were having a hard time. They call the police. There's a reason. You have to intercede and try to help them. That's part of society. I'm sorry. That's part of your job. That's how bad it can be. That's an extreme. This is a little bit different, though.
It really is a little bit different.
This is taking the parents out of the scenario.
Parents are not taking responsibility for being parents, damn it.
I'll say this and then I'll let you
Not all of them. I got to stick up for parents, man.
I am one. Come on.
I am too, and we try
That's
hard.
Why I'm upset
I'm
about
far
that one
from a
thing.
Good parent, but I'm trying.
As law enforcement officers, you were just seeing a small percentage of total parents. And I can't, I know there's problems raising kids. I've got kids of my own.
Oh, secrets.
Sometimes you get called in, and that's unfortunate, but that's a small percentage. And the amount of 15-year-olds that are sexually active is still, I don't think it's greater than 15% of all 15-year-olds from the parents I know and circulate with here in South County. And I don't like this FDA ruling. In fact, you might want to clear it out. I think there was a judge that said the FDA has to make the rule so that 50-year-olds can get this without a prescription. Whatever the case may be, it's a usurpation of parental authority.
Rory, how many 15-year-olds have an ID with their age on it? Is that really going to be 15, or are they going to be 13-year-olds?
Of course.
Come on. You're going to check an ID.
No, you're right. But you're right.
Do you realize what we're talking about, though? It's really gotten to, I agree, things have really gotten to a lousy place right now. Look what we're talking about. Medicine to kill a baby before it's born. Abortion is just on the table as a routine, you know, panacea for a bad night of being irresponsible. You know, and parenting, I mean, do parents parent their children?
If you
do fathers father their children? Are they there for their boys?
If you read the documentation on this.
I mean, God, it just hit me over the head. What a mess.
It even claims
it's a mess.
Why wait till the morning after? You should take it after you have intercourse. And that's the problem I have. This is going to be the new form of birth control. Yeah. And if you see the side effects here, and one of the worst ones is the depression, and obviously you're changing their menstrual cycle. You're doing all these things to the woman's body.
Horrible. It's totally unnatural.
Now you have a 15-year-old girl that's already kind of going through this, and I don't know. It alarms me.
Good for you to bring it up, Scott. It takes courage in this day and age to do that. And Tim, I appreciate you and your insights as well. So have at it. I'll let other callers.
Yeah, let's get with Mike. Thanks
for being nice to me.
Mike Aptos, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. A little traffic here, but...
don't even get me started.
We're doing good. Hey, what I wanted to bring up was that what you guys are talking about is morality. And we used to have a moral country, and we have progressively eliminated, you know, God, Ten Commandments, things like that, out of our society. Like, thou shalt honor thy mother and thy father. And there's no repercussions now for children to honor their mother and their father and listen to what they say. So, yeah, communication's important, but without morality, where does it go?
And it seems like every time anyone tries to preach morality or even tries to instill morality or values, they get cast out as some sort of, you know, right-wing Christian, blah, you know.
In that case,
yeah. It's like, why? Whoa. Wow, we want to have a moral country? We want to have values instilled?
But that's what religion is a set of morals. It's a playbook for morality, and we've thrown that book out the window, and we're reaping the fruits of our labor here.
Yeah, I agree. I don't know if Kim does.
Quite frankly,
I
go to church every Sunday.
Exactly.
Okay, I was molested in the Catholic Church. Sued the Catholic Church. Right, over the whole thing. But I made it all the way back, and I go there for a reason. So the reason I go to church on Sunday is to tune up my own behavior in life. What am I accountable for?
Ironically, you truly do believe in what they teach there.
I know, I do. And it is values, I do. And if has anybody ever taken the time to read Ecclesiastics in the Bible, that's my most favorite
section. I don't know how to spell it.
Read it. See, that's just it. See, everybody's waxing philosophically about religion and morality, but they're not even practicing it. I went to Holy Cross High School. I had 4 years of religion, and I learned a lot. And I lost my...
And that's one of the reasons why your kids are so good, is because you have that to fall back on, that moral. But our state, the federal and local states, have pushed that out of our society, and it used to be a part of our day-to-day life.
But we came to... But see, everybody ended up in the from the colonies... For religious freedom, right? For freedom to go out and say what you want to say publicly and not get thrown in irons. But yet when we get here and we're all set up, people want to beat us over the head with their religion because it's not, you know, their religion and this religion and that religion. And we're here for the freedom of religion. That doesn't have to be woven into the fabric of our government. That's something completely separate. But we can't do that. You can't run for office in this country if you don't believe in God. If you came out and said, "Hey, I'm a Buddhist and I'm running for president," you could hear them laughing, you know, from the other side of the, you know, Indian Ocean. But it's just not the way.
Or at least pretend like you believe in God.
Well, see, everybody needs to have something to believe in. We really do. And we have to have certain values that guide us along the path through life. And we know instinctively when we're doing something wrong, I believe. And we know. But do we have a moral compass? Do we have somebody at home that we can talk to? Hey, Dad, I want to talk to you about this problem. Hey, Mom, I want to ask you this. We sit down.
And then where does Mom and Dad go when they need help to answer those kids' questions.
Hopefully they've already found their path.
Social worker?
It's a tough one.
No, but they found
their
path.
My wife and I we've been hit with all kinds of problems over the years. The other day I was just telling her, I said, I don't even know sometimes what we're doing or why.
But we help each other though. See how we help each other raise our children? You know my son very well.
Yeah.
And I know your daughter very well and your son and your family. And we help each other and we have a good time doing it. And we're on philosophically, we have opposing views on a lot of things.
I don't go to church. I don't, I'm the total opposite.
I go there just to be with people that are like-minded, that are trying to atone for the things that they may have done during the week that weren't right, and to find their path and renew their values and to commune with other people that want to be better.
I prescribe to the whole belief in the structure of what you're talking about. I personally prescribe to that. I personally, if you do something wrong, stand up.
Take it on the chin.
Yeah. Apologize, do your thing. You know what I mean? Be a stand-up person. I believe in all those things. Do good unto others. Treat other people like you'd like to be treated.
I know you do. I know you do.
It's tough at times.
There's a difference between religion, which is part of the problem, and spirituality. And what you're talking about is that moral spirituality, which we all instinctively have.
Yes, I agree.
And religion can get in there and usurp that. And so...
Oh God!
Separation of religion and spirituality in a large degree.
And I see that in day to day. We have a great community here. We have a very, I was driving across town. You were talking about traffic. I was dealing with traffic on the way over here. As I'm driving through town, I see people I know. I see things that are going on. It's crowded. There's events happening. It's a great little community. See people. If someone falls on a bicycle, everyone pulls over, lifts the guy up, checks him out. I've watched it happen. We do have that, but I think that as we move along as a society, I'm a little bit worried with things like this, where we're not teaching people morals or values. We're just giving them outs, more and more outs. And this all comes from the company that makes the pill spent $5.7 million to lobby you to get it. Well, why not? Because they're going to make their money tenfold the first year.
And who voted for it?
What do you mean, who voted
for it? Well, they lobbied to get it through, so who voted for it?
Yeah, exactly, Obama.
No, the Republicans, because they own the pharmaceutical companies.
No, come on, I think it's...
Hey, it's all about money. What color is God? God is green.
I hate to say it, but if it got through the Senate, then it wasn't the Republicans, bro. That's the House.
Well, things are changing. We got a lot of open seats. We'll see what shakes out here after this next election.
Thanks, Mike, for the call. I don't know. I don't know if religion's the answer because I'm not I'm not a religious person. I'm sorry. I don't go to church. I always kind of chuckle when you say I'm going to church. I'm like,
I know, because it blows people's
mind.
Why
would you ruin a Sunday morning like that?
Because it helps me so much. It does. It keeps me in check. And I love
the
people that go there.
I know, you seem to enjoy it. I do. Really, it's amazing to me.
I look forward to it. When it's Saturday, I go, oh, good, tomorrow Sunday I get to go to church. Honestly.
Oh, my God.
I know.
Is it more like a social event for you?
No.
Is it?
No, it's very personal.
We have to actually break for some commercials here. It's 10:34. This is KSCO 1080.
Your new God Talk station.
Yeah.
There's big. There's bigger. And then there's the world's biggest garage sale this Saturday at Twin Lakes Church in Aptos. Hi, this is Pastor Renee. All proceeds benefit Second Harvest Food Bank. Last year, the world's biggest garage sale raised nearly $23,000 to help feed families. This year, there's more amazing stuff than ever. Items from 1,000 garages, all in one place. The world's biggest garage sale. Saturday, 8 a.m., Twin Lakes Church on Cabrillo College Drive. Find a bargain and feed a family. www.tlc.org.
This Sunday on Eat, Drink, Explore Radio, the art of baking healthy vegan cookies, and really more important, how to make them delicious. Also, a local winemaker explains why he's now listing the ingredients on his wine labels and what you should be looking for, plus some Cinco de Mayo fun. Get the latest food, beverage, and travel news Sunday mornings 8 to 10, live right here on KSCO AM 1080. Eat, Drink, Explore Radio, your lifestyle information source.
Get this. You can earn a 5, 6, or 7-figure income by farming a small parcel of land in or near the city. You can be old or young, rich or poor, married or single. You can rent, lease, or own. You can farm small fruits on prairie bench lands, houseplants in coastal valleys, flowers on steep wooded hillsides, vegetables in city green belts, ornamentals in neighborhoods of million-dollar homes. there's only one catch. You must compete with other farmers for the consumer dollars. You can compete with others and win the consumer dollars with the help of MetroFarm, the guide to growing for profit in or near the city. MetroFarm is the Ben Franklin Book of the Year Award winner that will guide you step by step through the planning and development of your very own income-generating metropolitan farm. Abraham Lincoln said the greatest fine art of the future will be the making of a comfortable living on a small parcel of land. Get in on the future today. Get a copy of MetroFarm at www.metrofarm.com.
KSCO 1080 on your dial.
Why talk when you can argue?
News Talk 1080 KSCO.
I thought that was like a hard start there. I was like, oh my God. Let me get into character here. Couple things. We got a caller. Actually, might give us a little bit of a different on the call here. Different younger approach. View approach to it. Hopefully he'll kind of put you in check. Go ahead, caller.
Hello, Scott, and hello, Kim.
Hi.
My name is Ethan. I'm calling from Burbank, California. Over the internet on KSCO.com. And I just kind of wanted to bring up what that last caller was talking about, the lack of morality as a result of a lack of religion in our country today. And I kind of wanted to challenge that because, as Kim was talking about earlier, I think that talking to your kids, that's absolutely key as far as instilling a moral compass. Because I feel like I have a very strong moral compass myself. I'm 25 years old. I've never been arrested. I've never gotten a girl pregnant. I've never been drunk. I have a full-time job. I work for the biggest radio network in the country. And I don't believe in God. I never once believed in God. We went to church all the time.
That's so hard to believe, Easton.
I never had, religion never played a role in my life other than it was somehow related to Santa giving me gifts. So I think that the reason that I feel like I was raised the way I was is because when I would go to school and I would come up with these challenges in my life, I was able to go to my dad and go to my mom and talk to them about different things that were going, hey, kids at school are doing drugs. Hey, like, you know, my friends want to do this thing I don't feel comfortable with. And they would talk to me about it, let me know that it's okay to do what you think is right and it's okay to stand up for yourself, that kind of thing. I think that thing starts at home as far, you know, instead of starting in a church. So I just want to say, you know, you can have morality, you can have a strong moral compass and not have religion be a strong role in this country.
I agree with you 100% on that because I'm the same way you are, which is amazing. I'm the opposite. I don't believe in the religion part, and that I've always been turned off because I've had so many bad experiences with religion and with, you know, there's a negative side to religion. I've been camping with some friends that are very religious and they don't like black people. They don't like gay people. They just have these opinions that are so hard. They turn you off. You just go, God, get away from me. We're having fun here. This is camping. This is, you know, you're supposed to love everyone and have a good time. And I've had so many experiences like that I'm just like, man, I don't want to get involved in any church.
My former father-in-law used to make this comment that was very insightful. It's the Catholic Church, during Mass, they'll have the handshake of peace, right, where you share with each other. And he says the same person that aced me out of the parking spot before Mass is giving me the handshake of peace during Mass. And that says it all. That says it all. It really does.
You know, this is, walk the walk, everyone out there, this is Easton Allen, Kim Allen's son.
Mm-hmm.
Kim Allen's very religious. His son's not.
I'm not very religious.
You still instill these morals, values, and how do we do that? How do we do that as a society? How do we start to instill more values and more morals? Is it through
by example? I think too.
I mean, I watch movies and TV like crazy, and I can't believe the content is.
Your kids watch everything. I remember this little guy watching me cross my legs when he was just a little guy trying to figure out how you did that, you know, as an adult, you know. So he's trying to figure it out and he's looking at me and I'm going, oh my God, this guy's watching my every move. And it really dawned on me big time. I go, I gotta really watch it.
I wasn't always doing
the best job.
Easton, I don't know if you heard me say earlier, Kim's an example of where his kids were actually doing most of the parenting.
You know what? And
exactly.
And in a way, that's true, because if you were paying attention to what I just said, that was the parental lesson that my son was teaching me. He really was.
You know, and when you talk to your kids, I just would like to see more of that instilled into society.
Yeah, it takes a village, you know what I mean? And I think a lot of it also has to do with, I hate to sound like an old person, but kids today, they watch TV, MTV and stuff. What's the highest rated show? Like Jersey Shore?
Yeah.
The guys, the big muscles and the Escalades and everything, and it's a lot of short rewards. Like everyone's really short sighted these days.
The premarital intercourse is a regular thing.
Exactly, and it's not about how can I live a better life, how can I be a better person, how can I make this world a better place. That's stuff that needs to be focused on, and that's what we need to strive for as a society. And that's all I'm going to say right now.
Awesome. Thanks, Easton.
Thanks, Easton. It was great for you to hear you call in.
Let's go to Andy, Santa Cruz. What's up, Andy?
Yeah, hi. I live and work at the homeless shelter, and I see the consequence every day of unwanted pregnancies.
Yep.
You know, and it sounds like I have a bunch of male chauvinistic men who don't trust their daughters.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, and you're right. You do see the fallout from that. And who's going to raise these children? And that's exactly the problem.
I don't think that it's the – I don't think that you're our daughters. I think that we would like to make decisions with them until they're old enough and not let the government make that decision for us. There's a big difference between a male chauvinist father that doesn't trust his daughter and the government stepping in and saying they can have a toxic drug without my permission. Huge difference, Andy.
I don't think he's on.
Wow, that was his only. Cowardly. Yeah.
Well, I don't know. He makes a point.
Very cowardly.
Come on, buddy. A point there, really.
Well, he doesn't make a point. He made a point and hung up. Call back and, you know, fight the good fight. Well, he's calling you a male chauvinist father, too. So I don't know what you're so excited about.
They have a program on Oprah's network now about fathers and their sons and about the fallout and interviews with these young men that have become adults now that didn't have parental intervention from their fathers. They were fatherless. And boys need their fathers. It's so important.
Well,
I'm happy to see that issue coming up. And see, then that's the bigger picture. Once this baby is born, now who the heck is going to be the mom and the dad?
Well, also, through adoption, it could go either way. I've seen abandonment issues with the friends that their mom had left. And they're still dealing with that. They can't get past a certain point in their life in a relationship because they figured that they got to leave any woman they're with because their mom did before they leave them. Or, you know, it could be either side of the coin. You can't just look at the dad or them. It's both.
It is.
Deal with all these issues.
But the whole father thing, there's so many dads that don't take care of their children and especially their boys. They really don't. And it's everywhere. And it's a problem. I have a huge following of young men in this town here that I've helped raise and mentor that call me up for advice, really, or come and seek me out at the gym. Or they'll see me at a gas station and stop, and pretty soon we're talking about all their issues because I've always been there for them. And now they're parents, and now I'm there for their kids.
Well, the statement that he made, it sounds like you have male chauvinist fathers that want to... Again, this is kind of...
That's a myopic view.
Well, but it's also one of those things where you can make a bunch of grandiose statements and put them back in their place and we'll continue to do what we're going to do type attitude. And that's got to stop, too. And that's why I started with... This isn't a Democrat or Republican issue. This is a father, mother, family issue. This is something that you got to be able to put... And as we continue to move forward, this whole liberal, conservative, Democrat, Republican thing has got to end because we're getting slaughtered here and no one's winning anything. I'll be honest with you.
I know. And you know what? And saying no to everything doesn't help. You know, trying to make things work does. And trying to step up and share the burden, share the responsibility, give somebody the opportunity to make a statement, even if it doesn't dovetail with your philosophical entity that you're somehow attached to, you give them the consideration of whatever intellectual values it has or whatever value it has in the application to a certain problem. It's not black and white like you're saying.
Yeah, I just feel like any issue that comes up, we don't deal with the issue. It's almost like medical care of today. They don't deal with curing you. They deal with the symptom. But that's about, what that, that's about what our issue is. No,
that's
but that, I'm saying use that as an analogy. Here we are. We don't deal with anything. Gun control. Let's go to the low-hanging fruit and tax the people and get the guns away from people that have them legally. Don't ever go after the criminals. Don't go after any of that. Let's just go after this. None of it makes sense. It doesn't make sense to me to do that, and I'm just tired of it. I'm tired of, for instance, the bombings. Bombs have been illegal for how long? I asked you that.
And people have gone went crazy.
Are they
over
still
that.
Bombing people? Yeah,
they went
people.
Nuts over that. In fact, people were getting some kind of romantic bounce by being affiliated with Boston because of it, which was strange.
Let's see what Dave from Santa Cruz has to say. Dave, good morning.
Good morning, you guys. You guys are really good. You play off each other well, and I just want to comment, Mr. Allen. I've dealt with you professionally, and let me tell you, with what you've gone through, what you talked about yourself in your life is very impressive. And being a parent myself, that is such an incredible situation, and so much power there that we aren't even aware of. So I just I appreciate your point of view. And the only thing I have to say after listening to Easton.
Yeah.
I got to tell you, you both represent both sides, but you keep in your heart the golden rule, and you keep in your brain common sense. You know, you guys are awesome, but when it comes to this thing of religion, this many-headed whatever,
yeah,
I often think of right before someone goes through an incredible traumatic incident. Maybe they're just words, but they always go, oh my God.
Yeah.
It's funny, I was going to say that earlier, Dave. I was going to say, you know, anytime something really bad happens, you start praying and thinking, oh, please God, make me get through this.
And where does that come from? I mean, is it a
upraising?
But is it just environment? Is it, you know, it's a great question. Listen, I enjoy your discussion, your topics.
How old are your kids?
Thank you. Oh, my son would have been, he was born in 65, and he passed away. He left this planet.
Oh, God, I'm sorry. Horrible.
But I still have two daughters, and I concentrate on them. Bless you guys and keep it up.
Thank you. Sorry to hear about your son.
Well, that's a tough one. That's every parent's worst nightmare.
You know, and that's one of the other things that I have always said, and my dad has said, and my grandpa all of them have always said, you never want to outlive your kids. That's the only rule. I mean, I'm sorry to hear that.
Nor let anything horrible happen to them. It's just terrible. I mean, yet you see parents have total neglect and disregard for their children. And they let them run the streets, and they're, you know, not taking care of business, or they're an alcoholic, or they're whatever.
Let's be honest. Life's a struggle.
Yeah, it is.
No matter what.
Life's tough by a helmet. Right?
You're right. We do have a network of friends and people that we all interact with, and we build this network. I had a friend that was really, really into the a men's club, and I could never understand. He always say, you got to join our men's club. And what do you need a men's club for? What do you do? And, we meet once a week, and then we talk about our problems. We do this. And I thought, and it finally clicked. I thought, I got a men's club. We're able. It's, you know, for people that can't build those relationships or know and have the trust in each other. Right. I know for a fact, Kim, you could call me anytime. You know for a fact, you'd say, hey, I need this, and I'm there. I could call you. It's the same thing as a men's club. And women have it. Men have it. Women are better at it. Yeah, they're way better at it. But they talk about everything, man. Jeez.
They're better networkers.
You know, there's secrets and stuff my wife will tell. Oh, don't say anything. And then she'll go, I told my friend. I'm like, wait a minute. Why? I thought there was a rule here. You can't do that.
Hey, I just wanted as a footnote. I just got information last night that KQED is going to do a national release of the movie that I'm in and proud to be in called Boyhood Shadows, which was the one that Oprah featured on her show, 200 Men, and brought all of us, flew us all to Chicago to be on her program. So it's going to be released by KQED, so if you get a chance to watch it and help fund KQED, do that. but it's just powerful, and it's about what happens to five men that were young boys that were molested and how their lives turned out. And it's men from Santa Cruz to Salinas to Massachusetts to New York.
Yeah, I watched it. It's pretty heavy. Yes, you gave me a copy of it.
Yeah, it's a heavy duty. I don't know how they're going to handle my swearing in it, but and wanting to burn down the Catholic Church. How's that? I've come a long ways from there, huh?
Yeah, but again, that's part of who you are today. Yeah, and I watched you go through a lot of stuff over the years, and
yeah, I'm still dealing with stuff.
It kind of makes sense why you were the way you were and self-destructive and everything else, and that's kind of one of the reasons why we're talking about this Plan B. I think in hour two we're going to talk more about the bombing and that stuff and some of the repercussions. Hopefully we'll talk about some of the bombs and stuff like that. I mean, a lot of countries deal with a lot more than we do, because I did some of the research and looked at how many countries have a bombing on a regular basis.
I think they invented the bomb, didn't they?
You know, it's...
It's a joke.
We all have... Each country has its own problems. I think that we have a really big, and they don't like to discuss it. I think we have a huge gang problem, and it's massive. In L.A., I spend a lot of time down there, and it's all you hear every day is drive-by shootings, and...
That's an understatement. And
it's
everything's
crazy.
Now, all the shots are being called from prison. By the gang.
I don't even want to get started about the 8-year-old girl who got stabbed last week. That was unbelievable. Horrific. Who does that? I mean, we've got some really... And this all goes back to the same thing. Morality and values. And what are we teaching? And what are we programming these kids to do now with... You know, I even recently in the last couple of weeks started looking at all the video games, the titles, what they do, how they are, and who's playing them. And it's unbelievable. They're desensitizing kids with this stuff, and I don't think it's right.
We're all fighting over the same chicken bone in life. So why are we not more inclined to help each other than to hinder each other? That I don't understand. And that's how I'd like to see the world turn their course to that direction. That's what we need.
One of the other things I want to see happen is, obviously you know this and you suffered from this also, is my bike got stolen a few weeks back.
Yes, and that really upsets me because I love bicycles and I hate thieves. And
I was late on the way here because I thought I saw it and I chased the guy down.
And I told you, when mine was stolen, I actually saw it and let him keep it.
What?
I let her keep it.
I didn't know that. No way.
Yeah. Well, it was a gal that used to be thin and had put on some weight, and she was one of the local
beach flats.
Well, she's in with a bunch of bike thieves, and she got my bike, and I saw her, and I said, you know what? You look like you need it more than I do. Just keep it. Because I didn't want to call Santa Cruz PD out there to take a police report for my bicycle that I love dearly. I did.
I love my bike. It's gone. It was an aluminum Electra cruiser.
I know. See?
I got it from John Martorella. He got another one. I got that one. So nice to ride. It's gone.
I know.
And I don't want to buy another one because it's not the same bike.
I know.
I want to find mine.
But how can people think that they can take someone else's possessions and make them theirs?
This is how you want to make it worse. They also took one of my out in the driveway of our shop. It's in a fenced area, obviously, but there was a camping knife set that I had there. It was partially empty. And then they took a bunch of tools. Oh. So bummed.
I know.
It's tools are even more personal.
Well, when I used to take a lot of those burglary reports, and you probably have the same experience, people would be so upset about a burglary because somebody came into their house, violated the sanctity of their home, and took their stuff. And Lord knows what they did with it. I mean, something you got from your aunt that's now deceased, that like mine, that I love dearly, that somebody come into my house and steal something that belonged to her that she gave me. I mean, that's devastating. It's
just
like
so
a
you know, I'm
your...
working on a, I'm working with a buddy of mine that's a radio specialist with a sending unit. I'm going to plant in a couple bikes and track these dogs down. I'm going to be able to find that bike. He says within 10 feet of its location.
See, and that's another thing. See, now if we help each other out in all these issues and all these problems that we have, just think how much more effective everybody's day would be and how much more above board.
Why? Bike thieves. So bike, I mean, it just it hurts.
It's
I don't
the
know
methamphetamine
why.
Problem. If you see the tweakers
no
are all riding around on BMX
bikes. No
one
wants to talk about that.
They're riding around on little bicycles, and they're my age, and they're out there on a little tiny bike pedaling along, but they're tweakers.
So you're saying anyone that rides a bike that's our age is a tweaker?
Good chance.
Or a little bike.
Yeah, BMX bike is a good chance. Just start checking it out and see if I'm right.
That's called, people at home, that's called profiling.
Yes, and if it walks like a duck and it quacks like a duck, it might be a duck.
You see, how many times you get accused of profiling?
Not often, because I pulled everybody over. I didn't discriminate.
It's everybody.
But I never wrote tickets. I never wrote tickets.
Yeah, I was the same way as you. I just pull people over and check it out and talk to them.
Yeah.
I remember one time, this is a funny story, but they, one of the captains, they do your reviews and that, and they said, yeah, you know, you need to be more active. Yeah, more active? What do you mean I need to be more active? And they say, oh, you're
not writing enough tickets.
Don't write enough tickets. Saying. You know, you got to get out there and be more active. And I said, well.
Capitola.
Whoa. I didn't say that.
They've got a good chief now. Rudy Escalante walks the water,
He goes, well, we're going to give you, it wasn't exceed standards. It was less than standards on this. And I said, wait a minute. How many people did I contact? Well, you contacted this. Well, that's more than my whole shift. So I am active. Can you give me a number? Give me a number of tickets.
You would be a nightmare to supervise.
Yeah.
You know that. I'm just thinking.
Yeah, he goes, I'm going to go ahead and put exceed standards on this one.
talked him into an exceed job standard.
I don't like writing tickets. You know why? Because I worked before I became a cop. I knew what it was like to go to work.
Me too, and get a ticket.
Pay a couple hundred dollars. Who can afford that? I can't believe what goes on. It's nuts. I can't handle it. I can't stand it. Why would you'd have to really do something wrong to me to get me to write you a ticket.
And unfortunately right now, and this is probably another show, but it's prosecution for profit. Those tickets generate a lot of money. And I wrote a few ordinances when I was at the sheriff's office. And one of the first questions out of the box is, what kind of revenue stream will this create? And Al Noren, to his credit, said, we're only going to charge $50 for this thing because the taxpayers should get something for their money. And he had an opportunity to get $250 or $300 like Capitola was charging for the same thing. You know, so, you know, there are some good people in government that really do care and that want us to have, get an even break and get our money's worth. And I used to always think to myself, if the taxpayers only knew.
Yeah,
and I would just think that and go, oh, my God.
Each one of these laws that's built to protect you, and that always has a big price tag on it.
Sure.
You know, and it does this and it does
that.
Well,
when we were seizing asset seizure for drug dealers, when we go out and do those warrants, they were picking all the dealers that had real estate and cars and cash. And then the other ones that were still doing the same thing didn't have the same bank.
You know what
they left them alone.
You know what they said on those? Because there were some of them that we would report and say, oh, they're already arrested, but they don't know it. What do you mean they're already arrested? They're out there doing business. What are you talking about? They're already arrested.
Well, they just wanted
because didn't want to mess with it. It wasn't a big bust. They didn't get all the assets from the seizures, and it's obvious. It's money, and everything's driven by money. And every single one of these things that we talk about, you chase it back, and there's money involved. There's a ton of money involved.
That's what my Zen Buddhist buddy Zabo would always say, Kim. What color's God? And I go, I don't know. He goes, green. Don't ever forget that God is green, and it's true. It really is. It's about money. And that's another problem with religion.
Well, we can directly tie that back to the whole union controversy now, too. I think the union started out, and they're originally, and I use, and love that series on History Channel, The Men Who Made America.
Right, I know you
do. Awesome. It's just,
yeah,
so,
it is great.
You're watching history, you're watching why, you're watching modern day entrepreneurs, and you're watching this whole thing. And then you look at it today and go, wait a minute, the reason why the unions are here. That's not why they're here anymore.
Well,
I get it.
Look
I
at the railroads.
Why they're protecting. I know, but I get why they did
not
what
a
they
Chinaman's
did.
Chance. Look what they did to the poor Chinese.
Now the unions
immigrants.
Are the big players. They're the money people. It's now they're protecting themselves, and it's crazy. And I know there's a lot of union people that argue and say, oh, you have to have unions. But
well, if you don't, you have some pretty nasty situations.
They need
evolve.
To be. There needs to be some ground rules between them and big corporations.
Yes.
Between the two of them, we're getting choked. And like I said earlier,
right.
We're the ones that are suffering. America is suffering from this.
Right. And there's the answer. It's between the corporations and the workers. And we have to find some common ground because you can't just work an employee into the ground, treat them horribly because of
horribly?
The... Horribly? Yeah, that's
it's like words. Horribly and poor?
Yes. Horribly. but it's all about, because it's all about money. And
we're at the top of the hour. This is KSCO, Kim Allen, Scott Gold. We'll be back right after this.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. There's been another insider attack in Afghanistan. Two coalition troops were killed in the shooting by an Afghan soldier in western Afghanistan. Their nationalities have not been released. Earlier today, five American soldiers were killed by an IED in southern Afghanistan. CBS News military analyst Jeff McCausland.
The Taliban has threatened that this will be a particularly aggressive effort on their part, a particularly lethal spring offensive. That remains to be seen. It certainly would seem logical, since we've announced we're going to be transitioning security responsibility from coalition forces to Afghan forces, they now in the forefront, the Taliban will endeavor to test those Afghan forces very early on.
At an economic forum in San Jose, Costa Rica, President Obama told business leaders the U.S. places great importance on its trading relationships with Latin America.
When you look at the scale of business that's being done currently, it's creating jobs in the United States. It's creating jobs here.
The president leaves for the U.S. in about an hour. A weather change could help firefighters who are trying to stop that 43-square-mile blaze in Southern California.
The weather has been cooperating, but there are still big battles underway. Among them, crews trying to cut an 8-mile-long fire line around the highest summit in the Santa Monica Mountains, the Sandstone Peak. They also have to deal with downed power lines south of that peak. Fire Operations Chief Tony Meekum told the firefighters, who knows what else is out there, so be careful.
Let's not get lulled by the weather. We all know the type of fire season we're in. I'm still very concerned that we get out there and get after it.
Officially, the fire 30% contained. There are signals, though. Firefighters are making good progress.
KNX reporter Ed Mertz. If expectant moms can't stop smoking, CBS's Barry Bagnato says there may be some protection for their babies.
Call it Plan B for mothers-to-be who can't quit smoking. At a medical conference here in Washington, researchers from Oregon Health and Science University report that babies can be protected from lung problems if their moms take a daily dose of vitamin C during pregnancy. In this small study comparing smokers taking C with others on a placebo, the vitamin supplement greatly improved lung function in newborns and reduced episodes of wheezing and asthma during the first year of life.
It's going to be a soggy run for the roses today.
A cool light rain greeted the early arrivers here at Churchill Downs, with more showers expected throughout the day. Track has been downgraded to good, and whether it'll be sloppy by the 6:34 p.m. Eastern post time will depend on how much rain falls in the immediate hours before the race. The early wagering seems to have been reflected by the weather, as Revolutionary has now become the 5-1 favorite over the morning line top choice Orb, now at 7-1. And a few starters who have liked wet conditions, Palace Malice, It's My Lucky Day, and Vijack, will no doubt attract some attention. Brad Tellius, CBS News, Louisville.
Race time is 6:24 p.m. Eastern. This is CBS News.
It's time to have faith. It's time to believe the unbelievable.
Do you believe this guy?
It's time for a Cinderella.
A historic comeback never seen before.
It's time for heroes to become legends.
This is an overtime game.
It's time to write the next chapter. Because it's the Cup. The Stanley Cup Playoffs on the NBC Sports Network. Every game, every night. Check TV listings for tonight's schedule.
Goldsmith can't guarantee 50% fewer strokes your next time out, but at their anniversary event, you can save as much as 50% on the best gear in the game. With deals on tailor-made rocket balls, FootJoy shoes, Callaway balls, and plenty more, Goldsmith's anniversary event is your source for the latest gear at the guaranteed lowest price. Because saving power is the goal, but huge savings aren't guaranteed. Get to Goldsmith today and save up to 50% on your best game yet, because these deals won't last long.
It's a great day for comic book lovers.
You won't have to open your wallet today at your favorite comic book store.
I'm Hugh Jackman. Stop by your local comic book store because it is free comic book day.
Jackman says that comics are the genesis of action on the big screen.
Let's face it, as we all know, the best movies end up being made from comic books like The Wolverine.
For example...
Do you even know how to kill me? I'm going to cut your head off. See if that works.
About 2,000 comic book stores worldwide are taking part. Retailers say the turnout and the scope of the event, which started 11 years ago, is giving them and the industry a chance to trumpet their successes by giving away 4.6 million comic books. Gary Nunn, CBS News.
Disneyland Space Mountain is open for riders this weekend. The popular attraction was closed last month after California officials said safety rules were broken when a contractor fell and broke some bones while cleaning the ride's slanted roof. Both the contract company and Disney were fined. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
11:05 on this Saturday morning, May the 4th. This is KSCO Santa Cruz. We start with very bad traffic on southbound 17. Had an earlier two-car crash close to Vine Hill. Another problem at Spanish Oaks. As a result, traffic is backed up beginning north of the summit, in between Redwood Estates and the summit, and it will stay stop and go through Scotts Valley. Very heavy traffic this hour on South 17. Highway 1 northbound stop and go from Capitola north into the construction at La Fonda. Southbound 1 much better in Santa Cruz. It's about 40 to 50 miles an hour coming off of Soquel into Capitola. Your forecast today, still some lingering clouds at the coast, sunny inland. We'll all be sunny later today. High temperatures are going to be in the 60s to the middle 70s at the coast, middle 80s inland. Time for hour two of the Saturday special with Scott Gold and Kim Allen.
Oh, hello, darling. I hate to hang up on you, but I'm sorry, baby, but I have to go. It's time for that wonderful record show. I'd love to visit, but you'll have to call back. KSCO has the inside track.
Welcome back to hour two of the Saturday special. It's turning into more of a venting show where you can call in and vent on any of your problems. It looks like they're having a beach cleanup assembly out here in the parking lot. So if you want to come down and clean up some beaches, please do down to KSCO on Portola. If you want to call in, it's 479-1080. Vent about any of your problems or talk about an event you're doing this weekend. No problem today.
Well, you know what? To that point about cleaning the beaches up, I don't know how many people, I was born and raised here, how many people do not go to the beach that live here? And we live in paradise. Absolutely, we do. And it is beautiful. And I'm just dumbfounded by those that just can't find...
Yeah, but I'm also impressed by the amount of people that show up for the beach cleanups. I go to everyone I possibly can.
Yes, yes.
And help out. And generally, I'm one of the guys that was raised this back to upbringing my dad. And if you're walking in somewhere and you see a piece of garbage, you pick it up. My wife always goes, oh my God, why are you touching that? Or, oh God, she's a germaphobe. And we've turned into germaphobes. But if everyone just picked up one piece of trash they saw a day, I mean, this place would be a lot cleaner too. And we do have a very clean country for the most part, unlike the old days. But I still see people throw stuff out of their car.
Getting back to what I said again.
I don't know if that's... Sunflower seeds. I spit sunflower seeds out the window.
There's only two things that can be on the freeway legally, and that's feathers and water.
I understand, but what is a sunflower seed? What is a sunflower seed? It's a leaf.
No, I agree. It's fine. It's like a banana peel.
It's biodegradable, yeah. Banana peels. I don't mind orange peels. Any of that stuff biodegradable. I'm talking about out in the hills.
And I leave my rock star cans in strategic locations for people.
I notice you're drinking the rock star.
Well, people come along and they're collecting cans and making a living.
For a guy that is so healthy and health conscious. Rock star's full of B vitamins. It's full of a bunch of other stuff that's not good for you.
It's full of B vitamins.
For a guy that's so health conscious.
B6, B12, niacin. It's all here.
How can you drink that?
Easily.
I was at a distributor down in the desert, down out in Blythe, you know where Blythe is?
Yes.
I was down in Blythe, and I was talking to this kid that works
Blight.
Blight or Blythe? It's Blythe.
It's a Blight.
It's Blythe. And I was down there in the warehouse, and I said, oh, man, he had a bunch of Monster. I said, I don't drink that stuff. He goes, I used to. He goes, one night we were getting ready to leave, and a guy hit the forklift on the side of a pallet over there, and it leaked out. And I said, I'll leave it. We'll get back here in the morning. They have two-part epoxy. It's about a quarter inch thick on the floor in there. When they came back the next morning, that epoxy had a blister, a two-foot blister in it, two-foot round.
That's why I don't drink Monster.
Oh, God. It's not just Monster. They're all the same.
No, they're really not, but if I'll indulge you and allow you to believe that. You got to read the label. Americans do not read labels.
Come on.
Is your eyesight already gone?
My eyesight can't read them. Better than 20/20.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Well, see, I'm 61 and I can read this, so it's pretty good.
I can read it from here. And I'm only 46. I don't have any hair left
in the parking lot.
I don't have any hair left on my head, but I can read and see really well. I'd rather have eyesight than be able to have hair. You guys with all your fancy hair think you're so cool.
Both.
Yeah, look at
another guy with hair sitting in there.
Respect the swoop.
Really? You got to get up and you got to put stuff in your hair. You got to do the whole deal. I get up and I just leave. I brush my teeth and leave.
You got a hat on though.
Dude, if you had my hair, you'd have a hat on too. Hair loss is not my problem.
Well, see, there's another good show, Male Vanity. You know, I think that would be another good show.
I have a lot of friends that. You are included in there.
Yeah.
You're like a metrosexual.
That's what they call it. I prefer that I have respect for myself.
That? Why are you offended by that term?
Because I don't think, I'm not offended. I just think that it doesn't adequately describe men that take care of themselves, you know. That it makes, men are homophobic, basically, I think, generally.
Well,
we're so fearful that we're going
to
be gay.
I always like to be showered. I like to put on deodorant. I put on some Old Spice aftershave. I don't always shave every day, though. Because it's a pain.
Yeah.
So I wait like every 3 days. Why? You know.
And
as far as my dad would say, my dad would probably get on me about that and say, "How come you didn't shave today?" You know, he shaves every day and he's sprack and you know he's
that's
Navy
my
man.
Dad's generation too. Yeah. You shave every
morning. It's something
morning
to be proud of. Their guys are sprack. They're on the ball. They got their S.
What's
together.
The word sprack? I've never
sprack.
Heard that.
They're sprack. They're tight. Everything. Their
I've
clothes
never
are
heard
all perfect
that. And sprack.
Yeah. I'm a mess. I go to bed at 3:30 or 4 in the morning. I get up when I, you know.
You're always working. That's your thing.
I just like, I'll skip that today. I don't skip brushing my teeth. I've never had a cavity.
So, oh, that's good.
Yeah, just never had a cavity. Brush my teeth. But the rest of the stuff, falls by the wayside. Let's go to Nick. Get some of this going here. Nick in Royal Oaks. How are you doing today, Nick?
Did you say cavities?
Yeah.
My childhood torture chamber. I'm almost every molar dozens of times.
Oh, no.
And the dentist, who's loved my sister and was mad at me. Why would I fight with my sister, you know?
What's on your mind today? You got some venting to do? You got some venting to do? This is the place to do it.
Well, you started out talking about the pill.
Yeah.
And these little girls are being promiscuous and... I know how they come up to a beta or somebody who's just nocturnal. Why aren't you looking at me? And, you know, if she had one of those pills, it'd be in my burger and she'd be going, I would just want to see how you react to it. So when will the story come out when, somebody else got drugged by one of these girls with one of the pills?
Oh, good question.
Wouldn't get pregnant.
Yeah.
You know, just species, you know, these. Kim.
Yes.
Have you ever been on one of those camping trips to Beardsley with the sheriffs?
No, I haven't. But I've heard of them.
Oh. Some pretty wild stories?
We know cops, you know, the job is so stressful, and during a 10-hour shift, you can go from a head in a bucket that you've retracted and to, you know, just a simple nice exchange with helping somebody. That's elderly, you know. So there's so much post-traumatic stress involved in law enforcement that when cops get together and they get away to lake and they got some beer on tap and they got some barbecue going, they let her go, you know. And it's understandable. But oftentimes there's problems. And I think you might be referring to an internal affairs investigation that resulted from one of those at Beardsley. And I wasn't there, and thank God. But unfortunately, there was some gunplay and some. Well,
those words shouldn't even go together. Gun and play.
Well, you know, everyone's got a gun and they're drinking and they're partying and they get stupid, you know.
Guy got pissed at another guy.
It was horrible. Yeah. In fact, this radio station did an interview with Sheriff Tracy at the time. And did a great job, gave him every out in the world, and to his credit, he didn't take it, and he took responsibility for the mess up there and what we're going to do to prevent it in the future, and everybody got tuned up, you know?
About 72, I was living in San Jose, West San Jose, and took a trip out there with the Smiths. So that's easy to mention because it's very hard to track down a Smith.
That's true.
You have more names than that. So I was there sleeping, and there's a joke going around the station, too, about waking up greasy. And I found out we bumped in one night with a group grumpy bunch of sheriffs. And so, you know, the next morning I woke up greasy. He's standing there. Would you say it? He's going, did you? I said, yeah. I was guilty from other play before. But, yeah, I was innocent of that day. So, anyway, I wanted to bring up Sean Bell. Unless you want to continue with the line.
No, go ahead.
I still want to bring up Sean Bell.
Sean Bell.
Sean Bell. He was gunned down on his party before he got married by the police who were surveying his little bachelor party, I guess. Remember that story?
No. Yeah. Who is that? I don't know anything about that.
This was back east. He was being tracked by surveillance, like two guys going in, two guys going out. Everybody's passing him. And these guys... He got out, you know, he left the place. He backed into a bunch of people, and they started pulling out guns, and he panicked and took off, and they started shooting. They killed him dead, you know.
When did this happen?
At least a decade ago now.
Okay, I don't remember that.
Yeah, and they said he had a gun, but I'm more about reflectiveness. Like you said, sheriffs have these things that they could be nice one day, a minute, and the next the other. I like to be friendly with sheriffs, but I don't like them coming up to me every second like I'm GPS. I just blew it the other way. And this guy, like, trying to bring up reflectiveness. Like, Sean Bell, they said he had a gun, but actually everybody around him had a gun. So whatever attitude he started picking up on, they said he had a gun. Do you understand my position now about reflectiveness?
Yes.
So that's... That was sad because these guys, like 29 years old, had a lot of things going for him, and he didn't have a gun. And I haven't heard a wrong thing about him yet. You know, there's not many reports, though.
So. Yeah, where was this back east?
I'm not sure. Probably the Midwest, closer to the Midwest than east.
Well, that's just it about life. You know, it's so precious, and, you know, and it can change in a minute, in a second. My mom is superstitious, very superstitious. They know if penny's heads up, she'll pick it up. If it's tails up, she won't pick it up, right? So I came up with the theory that when I find a penny that is head tails up, I turn it over and make it heads up. So for the next person that comes along can get good luck. But in the time that it takes me to turn the penny over, it's the same amount of time it takes to prevent from getting run over in a crosswalk or from something horrible happening to you. And so in life, it's these moments, these split seconds that change the whole complexion of your existence. You know, and whether you're going to be a paraplegic for the rest of your life or whether you're going to have a wonderful life and things are going to go right because you made the right decision. And I tell people all the time, life can turn in a second, in a moment.
You need to go and figure out how to make like a rainbow machine and do all these neat things.
I'm just trying to inspire people to enjoy life. And then how important each incremental second of each moment is.
If you guys are interested,
and I'm grateful for that.
Kim's going to give a clinic teaching kids how to skip and jump rope too.
You know what? That's not a bad idea. And in fact, you'd be happier if you did more of that.
Yeah,
this is great. It's about mentioning things when other ears are around because they can reverse the effects.
Yes, indeed.
Liking something, taking away something you like, or I've seen a lot of just mention point out some sand crabs, and all of a sudden they're washing up on the beach. You know, like I've seen a lot of that. You know, just the chemicals.
I'm really actually digging how many young kids are pulling in and out of the parking lot, grabbing bags and heading down to the beach. I mean, this is just an amazing amount of kids.
Was it the time? Was it I pointed them out because they could just flush it down so quick and they're up on the beach? It happened anyway, but it's clearing up. I mean, we're in a better direction now than a decade ago.
Yes, we are.
I don't know what these needles are about. That's so weird to me. I'm not around that stuff.
There's a lot of needles that are being found all over on the beaches.
Well, it's because people are doing drugs.
Well, there's some methamphetamine issue that I was talking about earlier.
Case solved.
Well, they're slamming meth all over town, and they're dropping needles everywhere. You know.
Is it anything about always no privacy, and they get privacy in that stuff?
Well,
I think it has more to do with addiction. They get hooked on a drug and they just...
Well, once they're there, they can't
stop. They don't think about any of that, discarding the needle correctly. I know they have the needle exchange. That's kind of working out. That's getting better and better.
That's always been a viable option.
It's been getting better. They're getting way better results now. So,
you know, the two biggest problems we have right now is methamphetamine and alcohol. Those are the two biggest problems. Look at the court calendar. It's all alcohol related every day.
I just don't see them. I just don't see the war on drugs is... You know, the other night I was watching TV at the shop, and they have a whole show on how they're busting these pot farms. And these guys, they have multiple helicopters. They spend millions and millions of dollars to go. Yeah. For what? Why don't we go spend those millions of dollars and go after the meth?
Meth, is that like a gasoline derivative? Or we might talk about crack.
Methamphetamine.
Crank is probably more.
Crank is a derivative of everything from Drano to septic.
It's like the modern day bathtub gin.
It's, I know literally somebody looks is. Like he looks like the Joker or the Penguin because he looks like he did drain up his nose.
But we really have to look at if we can't keep all these things out of prisons and jails, we have to look at a more reasonable way to approach them in a free society so that we're not wasting all this money, that we're actually getting some traction. And people are actually living better lives. And that's what it's all. Everybody wants a better life.
A true heart. And a true heart has got to be respiratory also. And we're going electric. And, you know, they reported San Lorenzo Valley being cleaner air lately. But I also accord that to higher gas prices and less diesels and SUVs up there.
Cut back on also the fireplaces and the wood burning stoves too.
That too.
Yeah, that was a big part.
I should get in on. I have been 2 decades on a refrigerator and I'm relieving it now. It's just shut down.
Yeah,
I get somebody out here this week. You might send me back in a few months. Thank you.
You bet.
All right. You have a good day.
Part of the. What's that? Go ahead, Ken. Kim?
No, nothing. Kim. Go ahead, say it.
Part of the problem with the drugs and that whole thing is, and this is my opinion, when you privatize the prisons, what do you need? You need inmates. Their business is manufacturing now in prisons. They need workers. Are they really going to go after the drugs as hard as they want? Are they really? I mean, think about it. You need prisoners. If I own a prison and I don't have it full, I'm not going to have enough work coming out of there.
Trust me, there's not a problem there.
Look at some of the things. Why are drug addicts in prison?
Because they shouldn't be. They really should be in a program and getting well.
And why are they in prison?
But we've legislated that, and it's not
who
making.
Who legislated it?
No, we did. We
big
have that
corporations, the prisons. Come on.
But we have a venue for people to be treated medically for drug problems because it is a medical condition. However, they treat it medically. But yet they still go out and reoffend and recommit crime. So
I just
there's got to be. I mean, you got at some point take them out of a free society and put them on ice for a while.
I know there's different grades of people. There's people that are psychopaths. There's evil people. There's people that do things that are wrong. But the drug addicts that I know that are in prison personally know these people.
Yeah.
And the things they did because you know they don't belong there.
Right. I agree. And it costs $30,000 to $60,000 a year to keep somebody in jail.
I don't agree with privatizing prisons either because it's a
either.
Business. Now you have big business in.
We saw RoboCop. It didn't work out very well.
Oh, God. I don't remember RoboCop. I remember it not
pretty
being
much
that
what the theme was. You know, it was privatizing law enforcement and it getting out of control and the wrong people having the power and this and that. But the fact of the matter is that we got to stop all this nonsense and come up with some realistic approaches to controlling the substance abuse issues in our society. Come up with some reasonable approaches to teen pregnancy. Come up with some reasonable approaches to our economy, to educating our children, to talking to our kids.
I privatized prisons as modern-day slavery. I think that they get, you know, just like any one of these situations, there's money that's backing it, money that's driving it, and it's always in the guise of doing something good. But ultimately, it's to make money. And this is what this whole country's about. Every minute of every day, who can you screw over to get a buck?
Yeah.
Just nonstop. We talked about law enforcement. We talked about Plan B. Every one of these things is built to make money. Even the thing where we're going to tax a penny per ounce of soda tax.
Yeah.
Why don't you go after Coke, Pepsi, make them change their formulas, make them make healthier drinks instead of taxing the end user, the drug addict, the one hooked to sodas? You're going to go take the low-hanging fruit. Some of these guys think that they're so courageous doing that, and they're talking about how they're going to do this, and it's going to go in the – we'll get $3.8 million in the general fund. All you're doing is taxing people. You're not changing. You're not fixing anything. It's going to go to help people realize, well, I'm sorry, the people that are hooked on sodas, they don't care about learning
syntax.
About that.
Syntax.
No, but go after the big guns. Go after Coke. Go after Pepsi. But that's a hero.
But who's making the money on all these taxing, the syntaxing? The government. Cigarettes, gasoline, alcohol. They make the most money before anybody in private enterprise makes a dime.
Unbelievable amount of money.
That before you even make a dime.
I know it directly. I'm involved in it, so I know what you're talking about.
And for some
I pay
reason,
a lot of taxes.
Nobody's paying attention to that. They don't get that.
I
do.
It really makes me mad when I look at the soda tax thing and the structure of it. It's a real blatant, like, well, even all, you know, and this goes out to all the people that voted for Prop 30. Guess what? The schools didn't get any money. Oh my God.
How about
Shock.
The lottery? That was supposed
to
be for
even
schools
older.
Too.
How about Benghazi? Here we go with Barry in Live Oak. I know that was weird, huh?
Yeah. Hey, morning guys. How you
Good
doing?
Good. How are you doing this morning?
Hey, you guys got to take it easy on this country and the profit motive, man. We're young. This is a young country.
It is a young
we're
country.
Just, we're
You're
just
right.
growing up. We're
we
just growing
to, we
up.
We need
man.
To fix it.
You're right.
You know, Europe is a little bit more advanced than us. They're like our parents. They see the ridiculousness of America. You know what I mean?
The ugly American?
Something like that. Anyway, hey, I wanted to say, I used to work for Mark Tracy and Mark and Joanne. And I'm wondering, how are they doing? Did they ever move to Wyoming?
I believe they have a house in Montana and here. So
okay. So they bounce back and forth still?
Yeah. It's hard to leave Santa Cruz, you know. Once you're born here, like Mark was and myself, it's heaven.
Yeah.
This is heaven. It really is, in spite of the obvious nuances that we have.
They're both doing okay?
Yes. They're doing
great.
Fine.
Hey, do you guys remember about 10, 12 years ago when there was like a triple murder-suicide out by Davenport?
Yes, I was there.
Yeah, how did that ever pan out?
It was a pact that three individuals made to kill themselves.
And somebody made a movie out of it, or wrote a book about it, or something.
Boy, not that I'm aware of yet.
Are you Kim? You're Kim?
Yes.
You were really involved in that, right?
Right.
Yeah. Because
the investigation part.
I was living on the west side at that time, and I remember hearing. One siren after another, I swear it was about 10 minutes worth of sirens. It's like every law enforcement officer in the county was probably heading to that area.
It was an eerie sight, and what my job was to get the information out that there wasn't some madman running up, or woman for that matter, running up and down the beach with a gun killing people. Because initially they didn't want me to release any information pending the investigation. I said, wait a minute, people got to know what's going on here. And it was really a surreal setting, and it was unfortunate. And they're young people that had a crazy idea, and they went and off themselves for some dumb reason. You know, and you see that, and you just go, oh, man, if they just had 30 more minutes to think about this thing. You
weird
know?
Mindset. You know, some people have a weird destiny and weird ideas of where their destiny should go. You know.
So it was a pact between all. In other words, they all agreed with.
Yes, yes, they agreed.
That's
to
really
kill
bizarre.
Themselves. Yep.
It is. It's amazing that someone would actually.
And they did it.
Get on board with that.
I had a case where there was a love triangle, and two had agreed to kill themselves to save face. And when the first guy shot himself, then the woman had a change of heart and didn't kill herself. So sometimes the best plans don't work out well.
What about the third party?
The third party's still probably mad at his father.
Well, it was a triangle. So you said one of them killed himself. The woman decided not to. Did the other guy, or was it two?
No,
unfortunately,
it was a father and a son, and the father had fallen in love with his wife. And they had an affair.
Oh, wow.
And to save face, they went to go do this. And, well, anyway. One blew his brains out, literally. And then the other
Which one?
The dad.
Oh, wow. And the son kept going?
The son didn't know about it.
And, oh, wow. And then, so it's not a pact. It was just Two of them decided.
Two decided to do it.
The third one was oblivious. That's a different story.
Hey, well, I'm going to cut loose. You guys keep up the good work. Man. It's a nice counterbalance between the two of you.
We'll do a little morning gory story.
If you had to pick, if you had to pick your favorite, though, I'd imagine you'd pick me. So that's a cool part.
Yeah, that's right.
Thanks, Barry. I don't know who we have up here.
I think everybody's at the beach today. Our brains are there too. It's just one
Marcella,
of those
Scott, and Kim. Are you there? I thought I clicked it. Marcella,
hello. Can you?
Yeah, I can hear you now. Thanks. That was operator.
Okay. I just I caught your show a little late, but one of you keeps saying we live in a free country, and I beg to differ.
I don't know which one said that.
One of you two, and you're law enforcement officers, aren't you?
Retired, former, yeah, retired.
Okay, well, we have an epidemic of autism. The CDC announced last month that 1 in 30 boys are autistic, which means that they're brain damaged. And by 2032, all boys will be on the autism spectrum, which means brain damage, not some cutesy thing. Now, the thing is, you complain about Coke and Pepsi, but how about the Big Pharma? How about Merck? How about Eli Lilly? They have no liability. And
did
how
you
about
hear
all
the first hour?
Vaccination?
Marcella, did you hear us in the first hour?
No, I didn't.
We were talking
I
about Plan B and being available for 15-year-old girls and possibly younger without parental guidance or anything. And it's just another drug company that spent $5.7 million, lobbied, got this cleared, and they're going to make all the money on it. But who's going to be around? You know, I understand Barack Obama made the statement that he's all for it and it's great. But is he going to be there when these kids damage themselves? What are the fallout for that? It's another drug. It's another drug you're going to put our kids on.
You're right. Okay, you're law enforcement. Anytime a baby dies, they blame the parents. They say it's shaken baby syndrome. The majority of those cases are vaccine reactions. Does law enforcement ever look into that? Do they check the vaccination records? A baby has at least 36 doses of like 10 vaccines by the time they're 18 months. Even in just
generally, if that's beyond the officer, they can only take the report, take it, and then it goes to the coroner. And the coroner does a full report. It goes beyond them. For them to have that much knowledge about each individual thing that you're talking about would be literally impossible. The training is getting better and better, but it's impossible to train on every single aspect of that. I mean, you got to kind of be a little bit more fair towards
the law. They should have education. How about nurses who are being fired and child care workers are being fired if they don't take the flu shot? These flu shots can cause death or disability or Alzheimer's. You know, we have these doctors and drugs, but they're the only ones that are covered by these.
Statin drugs they're one of the main causes. Now they've proven, the FDA came out and said statin drugs are one of the biggest causes of Alzheimer's. And not one doctor has dropped them or got any type of some other drug to put their patients. I understand they needed blood thinners and all that stuff, but
yeah.
I agree. I get it. You know, and these drug companies continue to march along and make their billions, and they pay their lobbyists, and they pay.
And the taxpayers pay for the research, and then they patent it, and they get the billions. They talk about welfare and welfare mothers. Why don't they stop subsidizing these drug companies that have no liability in any of this?
Well, and this is kind of where we started the show, and I was just amazed that we're getting more government telling our kids what they can and can't do. It's just another drug, another way to get around being pregnant, but who knows how many of them are going to severe depression, kill themselves, how many of these kids are going to get venereal diseases, they're going to use this as a birth control. They don't talk about any of that. The negative side of any of this is not brought up. Not one report. I had to dig and dig just to find the side effects and figure out why would they give this to kids. Okay. So there's a
one
little less
thing.
Teen pregnancy?
Well, evidence of harm. It talks about the thimerosal generation. All these 20-year-old, mainly males, that are out there killing people, they were injected. You can look in evidence of harm, the year of birth, all the aluminum and mercury that was injected into them, that causes brain damage. And you shouldn't blame the guns, And they say, well, they hardly look at psychological disorders, but they are damaged from all the toxins that have been injected into them.
Marcella, back up with your original statement about autism. I have a friend that has a son that's I have a couple friends with autistic kids, and I'm watching it firsthand as he's raising his kid and some of the issues. Mm-hmm. What is the cause of that? They haven't figured that out yet. And what do you claim?
Okay. It's three factors. It's what caused the epidemic was the thimerosal, the mercury that like tripled in the early 90s. And then it's the amount of vaccines. Now by the time they're 18, they have to have 70 doses of like 16 vaccines. You know, I'm a baby boomer, and when I graduated from college, it was like 1 in 10,000. Now it's 1 in 30 boys. You know, people have their heads buried in the sun. We're losing our boys, but the girls are going to follow along. Almost every bill,
it's
if you look at
the opposite of China.
If you read Robert Kennedy's article.
They only have boys there. That was a joke.
Their boys
are kind of a rude joke.
We're exporting all these shots. Probably the worst was, but there's more shots here in this country. The point is, we're just hurting our children. You know, instead of saving the whales, why don't they talk about saving the children? Because they're just like pincushions. It's the prisoners, the soldiers, and the babies are captive markets for big pharma to inject them. And they people think there's science behind them. There isn't. It's all about profit. Thank you.
I agree with you. Have a good day.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. Bye. Let's go over to Nathan in Santa Cruz. How you doing this morning, Nathan?
I'm doing good, guys. How are you?
Let's kick it up to a little more positive note here. Wow. That was a lot to take in right there.
And it is a
serious issue. I mean, it's just I don't have any answers for it. It's so big. Some of these things are so big, and they're just falling in the cracks left and right.
You know, and that's kind of exactly what I was calling in for, is that I've actually gotten to the point where I've given up paying attention and caring and trying to, I don't know, talk to other people about stuff in a sense. I mean, I guess I'm calling in right now, but...
You're good.
Two instances I want to point out as far as how it's kind of a lost cause right now. During the last Bush administration, the largest class action lawsuit in history was getting posted against Dow Corning for Teflon, causing all sorts of the digestive tract cancers. Within a week of that hitting, George Jr. passed a law saying no more gross negligent lawsuits.
I remember that.
Insane. Insanity. And one that just happened very recently is the budget that Obama just pushed through was allowing, or I should say, Monsanto can never be held accountable for it.
What was that? That blows me away too. But here's the thing that I said earlier, Nathan, and this is where I'm on board with you. But the only problem I have is I think that, again, it doesn't matter what president, with their Democrat, Republican, it doesn't matter anymore, Democrat, Republican. That's just a game to divide and conquer the country.
I agree with you 100%.
And here we are sitting here going, we've had enough. How do we get past this and do something about it? We're all in the same boat. When we all argue, when I really listen, we all have the same end result. But guess what? It gets bogged down with, I get called, it's weird. This lady came by the shop the other day and she, for some reason, threw her sweatshirt on. I have this landscaping in the front. Finally, it's nice. It's, you know, I take care of it. And she threw her sweatshirt on these plants in the front of our shop. And then she stood on them and was stomping them. And I ran out there and I was like, Livy, like, what are you doing? She goes, hey, there's no trespassing signs here. I can do whatever I want. You're just a working class pig, you know, on and on. I'm like, what? There's no respect for anybody here anymore. It's just, there's this big division, this Occupy Santa Cruz atmosphere or Occupy, you know, atmosphere. It's nuts. And how do we bring this all back so every one of us is on the same page for the, you know, to get these issues handled? That's the question.
You know, I think.
I know that had nothing to do with
just venting. Well, no, I mean, in a sense it does, in the fact that, like, people really are just kind of losing their minds, like with the autism, with whatever environmentally or whatever we're
cell tower.
But who goes on to someone's property and destroys their plants and then fights you on it and says they have the right to do it?
Yeah, yeah.
Where is that coming from?
Apparently she's heard of you, Scott.
Oh, man. Still doesn't give her the right to destroy those plants.
I've wanted to myself.
And Nathan, I'm with you. I get this whole thing with this. I was one of the people that I voted against Monsanto, and I want to know when they're doing it. They're engineering foods. They're engineering pesticides into the food. You don't think that's a problem?
Yeah, I don't understand why people...
Major
actually,
problem.
That's even another thing to look at is when... How in the hell did California not pass the law to label GMOs? I don't know anybody that said, I don't want to know what's in my food. You know what I mean? It was totally ridiculous.
That
had to have been rigged.
It had to be rigged because we are a very food-conscious, healthy country. It's getting better and better. Even Midwest, East Coast, everyone's changing how they eat. They got to do it. They got to be able to do it. And then I see the results, especially in California on this Monsanto issue. No way. No way.
Yeah, I don't believe it either. But you know what's funny is at one point...
everyone I knew was voting against Monsanto on that, and it lost.
I'm with you on that completely, everyone I knew. I didn't hear one person say, oh, well... But one of my friends actually said, he's like, you know, I was like, I can't believe it didn't pass or whatever. And he's like, well, you know, they did say it would hurt the farmers. And I was like, you know, I don't see how it could hurt the farmers, but let me tell you what you just said. You just said, without knowing it, profit over public health.
Yeah.
You know, like,
so we've been talking about the whole show.
Yeah, exactly. And yeah. Anyway.
The whole show is about chase the profit back. You know, I think DuPont, as far as this has been a while since we had this issue, we were talking about it a couple months ago, Monsanto. And I think DuPont is the main funder of that, Monsanto.
Possibly.
I think, in the back of my mind, I think DuPont was the one that was really a big player in that Monsanto research.
If you have the time, you should go. I think you can do a Google image search and the graph will come up, but type in politicians and Monsanto and it will spin your head on who was working for Monsanto at one point and where they're at in government.
I expect that. I expect it. I really do.
Yeah. Kind of takes you back to the Bush and Cheney being big players in what was the company that
Hildebrand?
Wasn't it Hildebrand? Not Hildebrand. It was the company that it's huge. They rebuild after all the wars and.
Halliburton.
Yeah, Halliburton, and them being big players and stockholders in that, and they're getting all these huge contracts. Come on, that's so filthy, man. That's completely just bogus.
That's what Cheney pays for his part.
You know, and that goes back to our government, and I'm sure at some low level somewhere in some little third story below some huge building, they're listening to this and documenting that I said this, and I'll go total Alex Jones on you, and they know who I am. They know me. But I'm sure at some low level they're hearing this. And if they are listening, then great. Why don't you guys have the same health care as us? Why are you making more money than everyone? This is not how it was supposed to start out. This is not how it started out. When you went and represented us, it was for a fraction of what the normal person made. It was not, you didn't do it for the money. You didn't do it to get paid on the side and lobby. And even good guys like, what's the guy's name here that was, he's from, Panetta.
Yeah, Leon
Panetta. Leon Panetta. When he left to Washington, the Sentinel ran a little story on him in the third page in that said that he had over 3,000% more money in his retirement than he could have even acquired. Instead of, you know, he should have had like 300,000, he had $3.5 million in there. And they were looking into who paid him, and it was these special interest groups that paid him all this extra money. But even the guys that you really are supposedly good guys, they get, and it just kind of goes away. It falls in the cracks. And that's part of the problem.
Yeah.
You know, look at the supervisors in the schools and all those people used to get elected and they got a pittance. They got, you know, a $1,200 a month, a stipend, just something small. They were doing it to improve the school system. Now look and see what those people make now. They make hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars.
Elected office is a career now.
You've got the
now.
Chancellors and the deans and the
it's a career.
At UCS even making $600,000 to $800,000 a year plus all their extras and their. I mean, it's gotten to the point where they're so fat at the top. What are we supposed to do?
No, and you know, and I know I could make a lot of people angry saying this, but I really want people to actually about it and consider it. Capitalism, in the history of capitalism, has never worked. It always benefits a few.
Not true. It works for a while.
Well, it works for a while, but exactly, it eats itself out and it moves on.
Because people get greedy. And here, Nathan, hear me out on this with that statement. I made this the other day, and I made a big play on this, and I really believe it. And I truly would like this, and I've said it for years. What happened to the company man? And I made this whole play. I said, what happened to the company man? The guy that loved to go to work and work for a company and build it and was there. And one of my good friends said, I don't know what happened to the company that took care of the company man. And it's true.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's true. I cannot in a world where
let
we
me build up
have
a company.
Finite resources, how can you have a free and open market? It's impossible. It's totally impossible. It doesn't make sense.
Here's a good example of it. Remember the first... How old are you, Nathan?
38.
Remember the first dot-com boom?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Tens of thousands of people made a ton of money. Remember the next one? Half the people made it. And then the next one? Only like a handful of people made it. What happened What happened? You're watching, so that's a perfect look into society and seeing how greedy people are getting. Like each time they got smarter and said, hey, last time we brought this whole crew of a couple hundred along with us. This time, let's just get them to work for us. We don't have to pay them at the end. Next time they're saying, hey, me and my buddy, hey, Kim, look, we're going to keep all the shares. Let's get these guys going. We're going to make all the money. That's wrong. There's the company not taking care of the people that made it.
It's a pyramid, and it goes back and forth.
It's never going to correct itself until you start getting people that believe in the company, the companies that believe in the workers, and that's what built this country back then. You know,
you're exactly right. But now the country is built, and the people on top want to keep making the money.
It's founded by criminals and Puritans, and we can't find that middle path. That's what the point.
I love
is.
It, Nathan. Thanks for calling in today, buddy.
Thank you, guys. Have a good one.
Hopefully, that helped you out a little bit. Hey, Thomas in Santa Cruz, how you doing today, buddy?
Hey, Kim and Scott. I'm doing pretty good. Just having a breakfast enjoying the show.
Cool. Awesome.
I just want to thank you. It's a great conversation. I mean, you guys, I hear you, what you're describing is it's such a good description of what's going on, and I'm with you. I'm equally lost about what to do about it, but we got to figure something out because it's bad. It's bad. Things are really bad.
Yeah. You know what? I really believe, though, that if when it's all said and done, that like yourself, you know, that you really genuinely care and you genuinely have some great ideas, and that if we open our minds up and we really put a lot of our own personal issues aside for a moment and listen to the greater good of everyone, we can create a great and even better country. And if I wasn't an American, I would become one. I really would. I've often said that.
If you weren't an American, you'd become what?
If I wasn't an American, I would become one.
Because I love this country that much,
and I have that much respect for it, in spite of the deficits and the issues that we have as Americans. You know, and once we realize what we have done as a world military police officer for decades, then maybe we'll understand why bombs are going off left and right and certain things are happening the way they are, because we've done some pretty nasty things in this country, Americans have. But we are still a wonderful and incredible country, and that we can regain our greatness and be even better if we just start to change course a little bit here. What you're talking about, like, what I'm kind of at a loss of what to do, and it's true. Things are so screwed up, and there's so many different things going off at the same time. And people, like the bombing in Boston, for example, people actually got romantic about the idea of being somehow affiliated with Boston in some tacit way because of the bombing and all the attention that it was getting. And I'm thinking, that is a sick approach toward a horrible incident. What we should be doing is coming together and coming up with some type of understanding of our role in the world. And why are people coming from foreign countries and blowing things up?
I know, but unfortunately that's a norm in a lot of other countries where they're blowing stuff up like that. And it's unfortunate that it opens our eyes up every once in a while we get this awakening where, hey, whoa.
Well, this doesn't everybody want democracy? No, they don't. Does everybody want Christianity? No, they don't.
No, they don't. We shouldn't be shoving it down their throats. I'm a nationalist. Thomas, I'm more of a nationalist. I believe in this country. I believe in manufacturing here as much as I possibly can. I mean, even the clothes that I'm wearing today, I made my clothes. We try to bring it back. I'm a nationalist. I think we need to take care of ourselves first before we go out and start preaching to everybody else and invading other countries for, obviously, for money.
And have some variances and tolerances for other ways of life that aren't American. You know, that's the story of the ugly American.
So what's to go what travel is on over Thomas abroad,
we get mad what's because they don't Thomas's have steak mind? And our French fries and our McDonald's, don't it? What's this curry and what's this, you know? Well, it's a different culture.
So what's on your mind, Thomas?
Well, you know, just a general subject. I mean, what I heard the man saying, I guess it must have been Tim, about us invading other countries. We just turned our eyes off. To what this country, I mean, I'm in agreement with both sides of what you said, Jim. We have such a wonderful country. We have so much potential to be so much better than we are.
Yes.
And yet we're also one of the ugliest countries on the nation in what we've done all over the world, and pretty much we've done it for money. And, it gets back down to me also when I think about it. It gets back down to morality. And morality comes, it doesn't have to come from religion, because I was raised in a Catholic religion, and I'm no longer in it because of a lot of the bad things that came out of it, as Kim mentioned. My brother was molested, and I was taught things that scared me into my 40s that just weren't true. But now I'm involved with a spiritual group, and my morals, partly that come from the Catholic religion, are as good as anybody's. And I don't have to have religion to have good morals. I care.
Absolutely. I agree.
Good morals. But, I've lost my train of thought. I was going to go. Oh, back on to this country is the best and the worst, in my view. We do so many ugly things. It's no wonder to me there aren't more bombs going off over here the way we've gone with our military to solve almost every problem that comes up.
I agree.
I like Switzerland and how they practice and what their record.
It seems to work there.
Doesn't it? It seems that they just do their thing. They live within their means. They stay within their borders. They don't put their policies on anyone else. They kind of just keep an even keel, and it seems like they're pretty happy there.
So maybe we can learn from other countries.
That's what I'm thinking,
right?
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what? When I was in high school on the debate team, the resolution one year was whether or not Congress should allow U.S. unilateral military intervention in foreign countries. And it was during the Vietnam War. And we knew then that we were the military policeman for the world, that we were going into these different countries with our own set of ideas and values, and that we were cramming them down people's throats.
We also are picking and choosing who we side with, and which has been a mistake all along the way. 40
years later. My God, come on. Let's wake up and smell the coffee and start doing things differently.
Hey, Thomas, I'm going to run. We got a board full of people here. I'm going to run and get Roger here.
Thanks for calling in. We appreciate it.
Roger, how you doing today, buddy?
I'm doing very well, sir. You guys are having a really interesting conversation and a good one. I just want to mention on the capitalism point, I think, you know, like you guys said, it does work for a while, but then I think one of you guys mentioned that greed kicks in.
Yeah, I agree. That's my point. Greed kicks in, and then all of a sudden greed kills everything. It kills every deal.
It does.
It does, you know, because, you know, I believe that, you know, the Creator puts everything here for us, you know, that we can live and thrive. So I believe that, you know, if people are lacking, it's because of, you know, I don't know. But see, there's another teaching out here that people teach that, you know, there's enough for everyone. You know, have you heard of that teaching? You know, that there's enough out there for everybody and there's more for everyone. But it's just difficult. The guy did point on it. The guy before me said that it does come down to morality. And I do believe with
him. I believe that, you know, I have a company and I'm working there and I'm the last one that ever gets paid. I make sure that, you know, I've always done this, that everyone there gets what they need or what they have to have to make sure that they're taken care of. That's my commitment as a business owner and as owning a company. And I have to agree with some of the statements where a lot of these companies don't really care about the people that work there. I think Walmart's a perfect example of, I think it was Sam Walton was the original. I don't think that he would be happy with where they've ended up. I don't really believe that's who he was. I really don't. I don't think that Levi Strauss ever dreamed of outsourcing. I don't think that any of these guys would be happy with where their company went and the idea of it, and it's all for greed. It's, you know, these bean counters come in, they say, hey, you could make way more money, just fire all these people and send it over here. Hey, these people have families. These people have homes here. They've built lives here. You know, a good friend of mine, you know, and they say he's a tyrant. He has a very big business here. And he personally told me one time, he said, hey, what would you do if you sold your company? He said, I'd walk through and pay everybody in here that their kids have worked there, their parents, they put their kids through college. I would make sure everyone got paid. And I've always used that as an example. Everyone thinks differently of them, but really, that guy's he believes in the company, but he believes in his workers even more, and I think that's why he's so successful.
Yeah, indeed.
Thank you very much. You guys, thank you for those examples. And I thank you much for being that type of business owner, sir.
I try. It's a struggle, dude. I could tell you horror stories. I've had nights where I just want to cry myself to sleep. I've had nights where I don't go to sleep because I'm just trying to get through the night and get stuff done and make sure that we meet our deadlines. It's not easy, and I think that taking care of the people, my employees are always there for me. They're always there. If their car breaks down, I go and help them fix it. If they need something, I get it for them. It's a family. It's, you know, that's the way it used to be, and that's the way it should be now.
Yes, sir. And you know what, sir? I love you, and I'll pray for you, you know, so you keep, you know.
I need your prayers. I need your prayers, man.
Boy, and his friend, I know he does need
your prayers. And I need yours too, sir. I need yours too, so. You know, we pray for each other, man.
Right. All right. Thanks. Let's go over to Reggie in Monterey and get him going. Reggie, how are you doing this morning?
Very good. Kim.
Yes.
Sirens at 3:00 in the morning by ambulances. I know the fire department and the police department, they don't put on their sirens at 3:00. You know, they're pretty cool about it. But these ambulances, they'll turn on those sirens going down Broadway or going down Fremont.
Never see a car.
You know, I don't want to badmouth it, but you're absolutely right. I mean, I hate to say it, but AMR ambulances, you know, I hired a lot of those guys because I knew they knew how to drive code 3.
And they used the siren?
They wouldn't, yes. Honestly, I go, these guys got that part down. They go to get a cup of coffee code 3, you know what I mean? You're right about that.
About that because they do it all the time.
And it's really a lot of liability too because there's no such thing as code 2. Everybody thinks that if they use their lights and the siren that they're in compliance, but there's a protocol for going code 3. You have the lights and sirens and the button's got to be in the on position and
going code 3 in the middle of the night where dangerous. I've had some sort of like bathroom emergency and I had to get to a bathroom or something.
You go code 3 to the bathroom?
I might have suffered from some sort of, I don't even know what they call that, spastic colon or something. And you're just trying to get to the office.
Well, that's even more, that's even scarier.
I know. Yeah, that's from.
But going code 3 is really a dangerous thing, and because people will do crazy things because they get all nutted up when you're behind them with the lights and sirens on, and it's just nothing to mess around with. You know, it just isn't. It's a very serious matter when you do that.
Let alone we're waking up Reggie at 3 in the morning.
Yeah.
Well, that's an abuse, too, of what they're doing. I agree. I mean, there really is. There's too much sirens. I mean, really. I mean,
absolutely. Anyway, I love your show. I'd like to hear you guys again.
Awesome. Too many sirens. We get a bumper sticker. I get Scott to make one up.
Too many sirens.
Too many sirens.
Not enough emergencies. Well, that's it. We can wrap this up. This was a good show. I think that we got a lot
of an interesting one. It's like
I got a lot
collage
off my chest here. I'll defend this. I think that outsourcing is one of the worst things for our country.
I agree.
I believe that you work harder and bring stuff back, and we just keep that fight by American. We build the country back up.
Made in America, and
we're starting to build some homes 100%. Again here. We're starting to bring back some industry.
And some quality things. You get a screw, and you go to use it, and it strips out the first turn. Yeah. It drives me absolutely insane. But you get something made in America of real steel, and you want to go put that and use it and put it to work, it's going to work and it's going to be solid.
Quality, it's going to last. Yep. You know, I'm tired of planned obsolescence also, where things, you know, just are built not to last so that you'll replace them more often. That's another way to bilk us out of our spare cash.
And resources.
And I feel like that lately. I feel like I've just been bilked out of. Every time I have any type of money in the bank, I just know deep down inside, something's going to hit.
Yeah, you just look at the number and maybe make a photocopy of it and print out your bank statement just so you can actually see it again.
And it usually, the emergency it goes that down happens the tubes. Usually is just a little more than I have. So I have to get real creative.
That's God's way of getting even with you, Scott.
I don't know about that. I don't see you prescribed all that stuff. I just think there's positive and negative karma. You do stuff right and you do the best you can and you'll be a better person. You'll live a better life.
Yes. And just wait because it will come around, and it does.
I hope so, man. I'm waiting.
Hey, I'm living it right now. I've had the worst year, I think, almost of my life. And it has now come full circle, and I'm reaping the benefits of my staying with it and
they
not
finally
giving up.
Got the right medication for that spastic colon.
No, but I went through 3 major surgeries and a lawsuit, and I was right all the way through all of it, did my work, and now I'm reaping the rewards.
All right, well, this was the Saturday special. Thank you very much, Kim Allen.
Yes, thank you.
KSCO.
Scott Gold.
We'll see you next time.
CBS News, I'm Pam Coulter. The Taliban may have made good on its threat to make insider attacks the focus of its spring offensive. An Afghan army soldier opened fire, killing 2 American service members in western Afghanistan today. CBS's David Martin.
Afghan forces are supposed to be in the lead of operations conducted in 80% of the country now, but that obviously, based on what happened today, does not mean that U.S. troops are still not exposed to danger.
And 5 American soldiers died when their armored vehicle hit an improvised explosive device in southern Afghanistan. Israel has moved to stop the delivery of some dangerous weapons to militants.
I'm Robert Berger in Jerusalem. Israeli officials say the Air Force attacked a shipment of long-range missiles in Syria headed to Hezbollah in neighboring Lebanon. Israeli analyst Gerald Steinberg.
For Israel, that's an immediate threat. Clearly, that's a very strong red line.
The airstrike has raised fears that the Syrian civil war could spill into Israel and spark a broader regional conflict. Robert Berger, CBS News, Jerusalem.
President Obama's on his way home after a 3-day trip to Mexico and Costa Rica. At an economic forum in Costa Rica, he said the U.S. values its trading relationship with Latin America.
We shouldn't lose sight of the critical importance of trade and commerce and business to the prospects both for Costa Rica, the United States, and the entire hemisphere.
That fast-moving fire in Southern California is 30% contained, but KNX reporter Pete Demetriou says fire crews still have a lot of work ahead of them.
Cal Fire spokesman Tom Piriano says the challenge is putting the majority of nearly 2,000 personnel at this fire to the task of building containment lines around it.
You have hand crews, you have bulldozers, you have firefighters with hoses on the ground. Depending on the topography they're working in, we use that right tool for the right area.
That will include aircraft, both fixed wing and helicopter, but they'll only be called in if necessary. They're estimating they'll have a containment line, meaning bare earth wide enough to prevent the fire from spotting or spreading into new brush, sometime on Monday.
4,000 homes are still in harm's way. Protesters have appeared outside the Worcester, Massachusetts funeral home that's handling the burial of Boston bombing suspect Tamerlan Tsarnaev. But CBS's Elaine Quijano says it's not clear when or where that might happen.
A human rights activist who's in contact with Tsarnaev's parents in Russia says they are searching for an independent coroner here in the United States. They say they do not plan to bury their son Tamerlan until they get their own answers about how he died.
Investigators are keeping close tabs on Tsarnaev's widow following her comings and goings in unmarked vehicles. This is CBS News.
Hi, this is John Greenhut, the CEO of PowerSwab's Teeth Whitening System. If you can have a bright white smile in 5 minutes, would I get your attention? You bet I would. The good news is the PowerSwab's Teeth Whitening System is clinically proven to whiten your teeth in 5 minutes. The secret is a tooth detergent that was developed by Dr. Martin Ginniger that lifts stains off of your teeth. In fact, PowerSwab's whitens teeth on average 2 shades in 5 minutes and 6 shades in 7 days. And it's easy. There's no messy strips or trays that you'll have to leave in your mouth for an hour, just swab your teeth for 5 minutes, and that's it. Oh, and better yet, unlike normal whiteners, Power Swabs works on caps, crowns, and veneers. To try Power Swabs risk-free, dial 1-800-963-8533. That's 1-800-963-8533. I guarantee your friends, family, and coworkers will love your movie star white smile. Try it risk-free today. That's 1-800-963-8533. 1-800-963-8533.
There are increasing signs of support for the surviving Boston bombing suspect in Chechnya. CBS's Larry Miller has more from London.
Posters supporting alleged Boston Marathon bomber Johar Sanayev are appearing on walls in Chechnya's capital, Grozny. They declare him not guilty and feature his picture and that of his mother. It claims there's absolutely no evidence against Sanayev and the accusations are groundless. It appeals for online donations to help with his medical and legal costs. Similar posters appearing 10 days ago were removed by authorities. Larry Miller, CBS News.
On a visit to Philadelphia, the niece of Fidel Castro said the U.S. and Cuba will have normal relations one day, but she doesn't know when. Mariela Castro, who's in the city for a gay rights conference, said the dream is going to be a reality someday. Castro, whose father is now president of Cuba, visited the Liberty Bell, an icon of democracy. Pam Coulter, CBS News.
12:05 at KSCO. I'm Rick O'Shea with a traffic and weather update. Highway 17 southbound slowing at Laurel Curve, so do mind that final left-hand turn as you drop down into Laurel for southbound 17. You will slow down, and it's going to stay backed up into Scotts Valley before breaking up between Scotts Valley and Santa Cruz, slowing again as you hit Ocean Street, the base of Highway 9, Graham Hill. A lot of beach traffic today with the incredible weather we've had. A lot of people coming to the ocean, so do anticipate heavy traffic south 17. Northbound 1 is slowing north of Aptos, and that will last into the construction at La Fonda. Southbound 1 much better in Santa Cruz and Monterey County. Your forecast today, sunny and warm around the Monterey Peninsula. Temperatures will be in the middle 60s, middle 70s at the coast in Santa Cruz. We are dealing with some low clouds and fog still holding on pretty strong at the coast, but we will get some sun later this afternoon.